We turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5, and we'll stand. We'll read together a little portion of the Word of God, pray, and then we'll get into the thought that I pray that the Lord might drive directly into your heart. Now, the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 3, 5, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Then Paul said, I have watered, or I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Who are the preachers? Who are the ministers? Hey, it's not them, it's the God in heaven that gives the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You're not going to be honored for my labors. And I'm not going to be rewarded for your labors. We'll be rewarded for our own labors. So you'd be seated and let's pray. Father, give us wisdom tonight. I pray that you might help us tonight to stand. And Lord, to declare the word of God. And may it be something that'll be helpful, that it'll strengthen, that it'll encourage, it'll challenge. And Lord, we pray tonight that you might have your will and way in every heart and life in this building. Now Lord, we all face things, I'm sure, in the days ahead. It's not going to be easy to face. It may be varied things that we're not even thinking about tonight, but Lord, we know it's going to take the grace of God. And I pray you'd equip us, make us able to stand and be a blessing and a help and a strength. Use us in a mighty way tonight, and may the hand of God be real upon our lips. And may we speak as we wish we had when we stand at the judgment bar. Lord, as we look back and see, I pray God that we'll say everything we need to say and give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Looking here in this scripture tonight, if you'll go back a little bit, one of them's coming along in verse number 4, and it said, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? And so they is all split up on who they were following. Some were following Peter, some were following Apollos, some were following Paul, and it goes on to say that some is even following Jesus. And they were divided. And then it says here, who is Apollos? Or first of all, it said, who's Paul? And then it said, but ministers. Now I want to point out something tonight. We're all ministries and we all have a ministry. Now your ministry may not be of God. If it ain't, you need to get it changed. You may have a ministry of some sort, but if it's not of God and it's not anything you do to help somebody in a sense, is a ministry, right? Trying to help somebody, that's a ministry. But if it's not of God, you better get out of it and change it. And so I'm saying that there's a difference between a minister and a preacher too. A preacher can be a minister, but you can be a minister tonight without being a preacher. Amen. And we can all have our ministries. That gets confusing sometimes to a lot of people, but I want to look at these things. So we want to look at some things about the man of God. Now, every preacher should be a minister. I don't like to be called that. That kind of makes it look cheap to me when I think about it. I like the title pastor or preacher. But I tell you tonight, you can minister without preaching. Amen. Amen. You don't have to preach to be a minister. And that's what I'm trying to get the word of God propagated and get it out to people. But I want to give you about 5 things tonight that ministers do. Whether it be in the pulpit or out of the pulpit. Number one, and basically many times the preacher. Now the church does not hinge on the preacher. We've got a bad idea and a bad concept of what the preacher's job is. Back in the first part of the book of Acts, the apostles, they were disciples and then became apostles. They were picked out, I suppose, and it just laid upon them for a reason to serve the tables and help people and try to be a ministry of helps. Now, we're living in a day when I was young, I never heard of a ministry of helps, but it's in the Bible. And they did that and they do that, but nobody ever taught me that till I found it in the Word of God. But I'm saying to you tonight, we've got a lot of ministry of helps, but it may not be of God, but they have a ministry of helps. Now, there is some ministry of helps that God has put us in. And I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm just trying to lay it out. But we know tonight that every preacher should be a minister and every child of God should be a minister. Not preaching. Don't you go out and say that God called me to preach. You can have a calling to preach the Word of God, and you better have a calling to preach the Word of God. But the ministry is a thing that God can give you as a talent. It's kind of like standing up sometimes and I've heard people sing and they'll say, God called me to sing. They'll never prove that to me out of the Word of God. God has given them the talent and the ability, amen, to sing. Amen. I appreciate that. Whatever God puts you in, He's going to give you what you need to carry it out. And so we find that singing's not a calling, it's a talent, it's a ministry. And there's a lot of ministries that we can have inside the church to help others. And there's a lot of people have ministries that nobody ever knows about. But God will reward them for it when they stand before the judgment seat. Now as preachers, let me give you some things that every preacher ought to do as being a minister. Now we'll focus our point tonight on the man of God and the preacher. First of all, I want to tell you that ministers are to be as shepherds, have a ministry of shepherding. Amen. Jesus did that. Every preacher needs to be like a shepherd. A shepherd, you know what a shepherd does? Three things I want to tell you about that he does. There's a lot more that he does, but I don't have time for all these tonight, so I'll just basically put it down into three things that the shepherd does with the sheep. We are the sheep of God. We're in His pasture. He's our shepherd. He's the great shepherd. But the pastor, the preacher, is the under shepherd. And as the under shepherd, he's to do some things. Number one, he's to feed the flock. It's the preacher's job to feed the church. It's the preacher's job to dig out some nuggets. It's the preacher's job to spread the table, if you will, from the Word of God. Amen. And I don't think the Lord wants the preacher to give them a sandwich every time they come to church. That might be all right every now and then. How many of you love sandwiches every meal? Amen. I seen some raise their hand, but I said every meal, and it went back down. Amen. I like sandwiches every now and then. But I don't want them every meal, do you? And the church can put up with a few sandwiches every now and then. But I want to tell you as a basic fact, they need something from the Word of God that will stick to the ribs. And can you just see a shepherd out in the field? He's got 40 sheep. And he wants to use them for two things. Food and for wool. Now, he's going to feed them sheep if he's got any sense at all. He don't want to have skinny sheep and the ribs sticking out the side when he cuts the wool off and they look like a bag of bones and he takes them to the market. He wants some meat on the bones. And so the shepherd's job is to try to feed the sheep. Secondly, his job is not only to feed the sheep, but he's got to watch over the sheep. He's got to keep a watching eye over the congregation. And if he catches them where they're not to be, doing what they ought not to do, and if they're not lined up with the rest of the sheep and they're trying to pull separate from the flock, it's his job to make sure they stay together. And he does that through the preaching of the Word of God. Brother, sometimes that's when it rubs the fur the wrong way. I've never raised sheep, but I've always been interested in them. I've read a lot about sheep and shepherds. I got some good books in my library of shepherds and sheep, and I've studied those things and preached them down through the years, and it makes for good preaching. But if there's anything I want to do is make sure if I'm going to raise them for wool and going to raise them for food, I don't want the wolves getting them. Amen. Now, we don't have to worry about wolves coming into the church and taking anybody out. Amen. But you do have to watch about the rotten doctrines and those tonight that are trying to pull them to the side and try to teach them bad doctrines and bad ways. Every week, I'm sure, sometimes if you're going to deal with Christians and people out in the world, they're going to try to get you to believe something that they believe, like losing your salvation or the second coming of the Lord, or just not looking the inspiration, the Word of God, or not using the King James Bible or something. They're going to be on your case. And when they are, you're going to act a little funny. When you come to this church and you're acting a little funny, it's my job, amen, to dig down deep and let you know about it. And then the third thing that the shepherd does to the sheep that's very important tonight is sometimes he's got to shear them. I said I hadn't raised sheep, but have you ever seen sheep that's got mud, briars and sticks and everything else all matted up in their wool? Ugly looking things. A sheep that hadn't got all that mud and stuff on them look good. Fat, woolly sheeps are precious. And that's what I'm trying to get out of you. Amen. I want you to be fat, woolly sheep. I want you wool to be all tangled up in a mess. I don't want you to look bad. You know why that they look bad? They've been at the wrong place doing the wrong thing. Amen. That wallered in mud. I mean getting in the thorns and the briars, and they're not in. You see, a shepherd leads his sheep to the pasture to eat the good grass and to the still waters to get the good water. And his job is to make sure they're fat and healthy. That's the ministering part of the preaching. Sometimes it's not the preaching that does that. He has to do it physically and lead them. And that's ministry. Ministry. All right? Not only does a minister or a preacher have a job of tending to the sheep, but secondly, a preacher as a minister tonight's a builder. Let me just give you some scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 10. We didn't read that a while ago, but we'll read it now. The Bible said, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. As a minister, as a preacher tonight, ministering to the people, my job is to try to get you to make sure you're building on the right foundation. That you're building your life, you're building your home, you're building your family. You're building everything that you've got on the foundation of God. For there's none other foundation given among men. And I want you to know that today. He tells us in verse 11 who that foundation is. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us if you're a wise man, you build your house upon the rock. If you're a foolish man, you build your house upon the sand. And it's the preacher's job to tell you and warn you that you've got to build your house on the right foundation. Beloved, that's my job tonight. And as I minister from the pulpit out of the Word of God, my job is to help you to build up in the most holy faith. My job is to try to build you up. My job is to try to encourage you. Sometimes I don't do too much of a job encouraging when God's shearing the sheep. Amen. Can you just imagine sheep has just been sheared? They're cold. They're not comfortable. Amen. Depends on the weather. I mean, cold weather, they'll freeze. They're cold. Winter, summertime, they might feel better. But if have now, you ladies, you should never even know anything about this at all. This you wouldn't know, but you men, except two or three of you, you men, when you if you don't have a head of hair, and you go to the barber shop to get a cut, and have you ever gone, and your hair's not long, but you have a haircut, don't you know you can tell it? It feels a little bare. Now them sheep feel a little bare. Amen. That's a wonder, and that's what I'm talking about tonight. When people come to church and the preacher skins them, he sheared the sheep, they feel a little bad. But you know what? It'll grow back. It'll grow back. So the preacher sometimes has to do something else to that. He has to rub in a little ointment. Amen. Has to help things along. So he's not only a shepherd of the sheep and doing the things that he does in the ministering to the sheep, but he's also a builder to try to build them up in the most holy faith. Now I want to tell you something. If I'm pastor of church and I've been with you for a long time and I look around and you don't know much more than you did when I started with you, you and me both are in trouble. That means I haven't grown and it means you haven't grown. A preacher and a church tonight grow together. Sometimes you say, preacher, I didn't know that before. Did you know I didn't know it either before I got in the pulpit or right before I got in the pulpit? Amen. Sometimes I preach things and somebody said, oh, I'll tell you what, I love the way you preach and you dig out things. And then I just kind of swallow real big and I thought, thank you, Lord, for teaching me that the other night. I never seen it either. Sometimes I'm in the pulpit and God shows it to me from right here. Sometimes I've known all the things that I've preached, but I didn't know how to put them together. And the Holy Ghost puts them together. There's a lot of things you know about the Bible tonight. If God could just get those things together, they'd be a blessing to you and it builds you up in the most holy faith. That's what the minister part of the preacher is. To build you up in the most holy faith. Number three, another job of the preacher, and he's not only just to be a builder and a shepherd, but tonight he's also to be a watchman. Go to Hebrews. I could take you over to the book of Ezekiel, but we'll not. We'll just look at the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 17. We'll stay here close. In Hebrews 13:17, the Bible says, and this is talking about the believer priest and obedience and so forth. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you. Now God wants us to be a watchman. We're to watch over souls. If I don't see you growing in the grace of God, I need to spend more time in prayer and preaching to you. I mean to bear you up on the wings of prayer and lay you before the throne of God and pray for you. It's a privilege to do that. Amen. And he says it ought to be a privilege. Somebody said, oh, having to pray for old souls. Listen, don't even waste your breath. Amen. If it's a chore to pray for me, don't pray. It ain't going to get no worry anyhow. I want to pray for you. I want you to pray for me. Now, I believe tonight we ought to pray for everybody around us and those we come in contact with and those especially who's asked us to pray. But we ought to pray just like we want them to pray for us if we were in the same position that they're in. You know what? You may not pray for me when I ask you to pray for me like you ought to pray for me, because you ain't walking in my shoes. But one day, if you do get to walking in my shoes or get a pair like them, and you're going through some of the same troubles that I faced, you know what you're going to do? You're going to say, pray for me. And I hope the next time you do, if you hadn't prayed for me, that God reminds you, hey, it ain't been long since that preacher asked you to pray for him and you didn't pray for it. Now, I ain't so sure the Lord will do that. Amen. He always answers our prayers. But I surely was putting in a little word to the side tonight. Maybe God will.
Amen.
Do that. He just don't do that. I'm glad God is like that. He wants us to pray. So we pray for one another. My job is to be a watchman. My job is to watch out for the enemy, for the wolves, for the bears, for the false prophets, for those tonight that are trying to lead them astray, and tonight for those who are trying to teach them bad doctrine. I don't believe we're to stand by and watch the bear and the lion and the coyote and all the wolves and everything else eat the sheep. Amen. I believe we ought to get upset, and I do get upset. It bothers me when I see people start gnawing on the sheep and working against the sheep. I do praise God tonight that we have that privilege of standing. Now, not only that tonight, but let me give you number four. I'm going to give you five of them. But number four, the minister tonight or the preacher, he's got another job, and that's he's to be a sower of good seed. Look at Psalms chapter 126. This is my favorite. I could give you some out of the book of Matthew, several scriptures, but I'll just use this one. Psalm 126 is the best one that's always been a blessing to me. Psalm 126, look at it. David has given us this, and here's what he says in Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears might.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Shall reap in joy. I want you to see that. Shall. If you sow in tears, you'll reap in joy. Verse 6 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Amen.
Now, you ever seen this? And I've seen it. Had it happen to me many times down through the years. How somebody in the church, maybe a husband of one of the wives of the church or one of the women of the church, and they prayed for their salvation. Man didn't come, but we prayed for them, and down the years we watched and seen God save them. Maybe it's right opposite. We've seen the husband or the wife saved that the husband's been praying for. Or maybe we've seen the child of a mother or daddy saved. We've seen a relative or a friend. And when you've been praying for them, look at this. You don't have to put on no show. If you've been praying for them and praying for them and praying for them, and you get a phone call one day and they tell you that they got birth in the family of God, I want you to know you'll go berserk. Spiritually speaking, you know why? Because you've got a little bit invested in that. You've been weeping in joy, in tears. And you're sowing in tears, and you reap in joy. Amen. This crowd tonight, oh, I've been praying for old so-and-so to get saved all these years. And then they get saved and you just sit there. I'm going to tell you, you're telling me tonight you hadn't been praying for them. I know those that I've been praying for and seen them get saved. I want you to know, brother, I got beside myself. I say there's a God in heaven that still hears prayer.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And every once in a while, I hadn't prayed for them and they've got saved. And I said, somebody, thank God, prayed for them. And I give God the praise and the glory. But the Bible tells us if we go out sowing seed, good seed, seed that's real. We go out sowing that seed, and we sow it in the name of Jesus Christ, and we do what we need to do, and hey, they get saved. I want you to know you'll come back rejoicing with production. Praise God. There's the harvest of sowing and reaping. You know how it is. We're not getting in that tonight. You'll reap exactly what you sow, not something else. You sow taters, you're going to get taters. You sow the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You sow the spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. God says that. And then tonight we see that we need to sow the seed. Now, the preacher, as a minister, now you can do all these same things, not same, maybe not in the same capacity that the preacher does, but you can do the same thing. And the last one I want to give you tonight, and there's others that you could find, that the minister has to be fishers of men. Amen. Got to be fishers of men. Look at Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew 4. Now, just look at this. There's a lot of things, and we could stay with this one for a long time, but we won't. We'll start reading in verse 18. Matthew 4, 18 said, "And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee." Now you got to go where the fish are, and they're not in the pond in the mud hole behind your house. They're in the sea. "And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, that's the ministry of men and women, and especially of preachers. "And they straightway," that means right then, immediately, right on the spot, "left their nets and followed him." Now, these were fishers of fish. He's telling us tonight that walking by the sea. Now, beloved, we'll get applications or maybe a type and look at some comparisons tonight. The sea to the child of God is the world. That's where we go to find them tonight. We're not trying to go to Mars or Jupiter or anywhere else, but we find the fish in the sea. And the sea is the world. And brother, we got to look at that. And in the sea, they're heavily populated. And we have to find them. Do you know fish go in schools? And you have to find them. I mean, you know, I've always fished. And every once in a while, I stand there and catch one. Every once in a while, a straggler comes by every once in a while. But you find them in schools. And we have to go where they are. It's not easy to win the loss to Jesus Christ. Amen. The sea is heavily populated. The world is full of lost people, full of lost men and women, and they need to be saved by the grace of God. Now the net in the Word of God here tonight is the gospel. We've got the gospel. How are we going to get them? We're going to get the gospel and take it to them. Well now, Brother Shane does a lot of this net business. I never seen him do it, but they say he's pretty good at it, swinging it out there and catching that bait. And I've never seen it. I'd like to just see it one time, brother. Take a picture. I don't want to go out and watch it. Yeah. Amen. I might fall out of the boat. But they say he can cast that net. And they've got to cast. Did you know you can put that net in that boat and go out in the water and say, "Here, fish, come on." You can take a fish finder and find where they're at. And you can say, "Come on, jump in the boat. And you'll come home without any fish. Now that net, you said, "I've got the net." It's an expensive net. It's one of the finest that you can find. And it's stout, it's strong, it's durable. And I got it you name a place that you paid dearly for it. Amen. And it don't make no difference if it stays in the boat. You're not going to catch no fish. Now, I don't know much about casting nets, but I do know that it's not easy. It's strenuous. Takes a lot of work. Amen. I don't think you just kind of throw it out, do you, brother?
No, it's very hard.
Amen. Listen at him, see? I had never done this, but I've heard about it and read about it. I've never even watched anybody spread the nets. Amen. I've seen them fellas down yonder in the country where they hang up something for a alligator. Come back and check it the next day, but that's not casting the net. You've got to cast that net and pull that net back in. I reckon you pull it back in, don't you? And you hope that there's something in it when you get it back. And if there ain't nothing in, you got to do it again or find another place where you think the fish are. And brother, we've got to do, I'm trying to tell you, it's not easy to win souls. It's not easy to catch fish. And we have to work hard on that. But you've got to use the net. Now what's the net? The gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've been trying to get them and catch them with everything. Amen. Amen. I don't know how to catch fish much. I never have been good at it. Amen. And it's a hard job even for that. Amen. For me. I mean, I've always got around where they have bait stealers. And I've, in the religious world, that's what I've thrown out a lot of bait. And I've thrown out a lot of nets. And I've had bait stealers. And they just stole what I throwed at them. And the Bible said not to cast your pearls before swine. And that's what it ended up being sometimes. But we've got to work hard. And as ministers. Now, that's a big job. Now, if we want to have a ministry tonight for the Lord, we're going to have to work hard to get it, aren't we? You've got to do the same things I do. Our job is to try to win people to the Lord Jesus. You know why our churches are not full? We're not fishing. We're not building up the people in the most holy faith. We're missing the mark. We're coming to... You said, but preacher, they're hard to listen. They're hard to hear. They're hard to turn. That's right, they are. And the more that they don't, the more we're to try to do anything. Amen. If you was making your living fishing, I'll guarantee you you'd try to figure out something better way if you wasn't catching any fish. Amen. Or you'd go find you something else to do one. I'm serious. And if we're not winning souls, we ought to be doing something. We ought to be trying to change the method and the motive that we have tonight and get them saved, or we ought to get out of it and let somebody else do it. God help us tonight. I'm concerned about the lost. I'm more concerned for it now than I've ever been in my life. I guess it's because I'm getting closer home. I want to take more with me. And I want to see heaven fuller. Well, I really do. And I praise God for it. But we're all ministers. Now, these fellows are ministering to God. I don't like to be, as I said a while ago, I don't like to be called a minister. But that's really what we are. A minister is somebody that's obedient to the call of God, does the work of God. Actually, ministers are servants. That's what they are. They're servants. And they're working for the master tonight. And they give God the glory. And I'm glad that I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm glad he put me in it. And I rejoice in it tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please.